Pat Gray joins me for the I don't know the what excuse is he going to give this time? What I mean, he takes off more time than anybody I know.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, oh, I'm working for the company doing a documentary. No, he's not.
No. I think it's Eclipse Week.
That's where we start.
Yeah.
And you cannot believe the madness of the first part of today's show. You're going to enjoy the whole podcast. It's really good. Begins in just a minute. All right. Let me ask you a question. If you're living the life you want to live, great. Are you doing the things you want to do? Great. If not, it could be because of Aries and in retrograde with Mercury. It might be the sun is going to go dark today. But what I would do is I would interpret that sign as maybe you should stop being depressed about feeling so bad with pain and you should try something new. Relief factor. Relief factor. It's not a drug. It was a daily supplement that helps your body fight pain by fighting inflammation. 100% drug-free. Over 1 million people have tried Relief Factor's quick start, and 70% of them have gone on to order it again. See how Relief Factor can help you with their 3-week quick start. Only $19.95. It comes with Relief Factor's Feel Better, Your Money Back guarantee. So give it a try. ReliefFactor.com. 1-800-4-RELIEF. 1-800, the number 4-RELIEF. When you feel the difference, you know it works.
You're listening to the best of the Glenn Beck program.
Pat Gray is sitting in for Stu Vergeer, who is off on assignment for next couple of days. Hello, Pat. How are you?
Hello.
Good.
Did you see the eclipse yesterday?
I sure did.
You did?
Yeah.
Are your eyes affected?
Yes. I'm completely blind.
Completely blind now. Mm-hmm. Wow. Mm-hmm. That is, you shouldn't have looked right at.
No, I should not have.
No.
I guess the warnings were accurate.
We're accurate.
You shouldn't do that.
You should follow the science.
Yeah.
Yeah. Don't, every time.
Don't stare directly at the sun for an hour and a half.
Yeah.
Don't do it.
Nuh-uh. So I was actually shocked that I enjoyed it.
So was I.
Yeah.
It's weird because I figured, okay, I've seen this
before. 1977 or 79, something like that.
Yeah.
Growing up in the Pacific Northwest, it was actually, I think it happened on a sunny day. I remember seeing it, mm-hmm. and I was not that impressed.
No.
And this one, but I think what the difference is, I've never seen a total eclipse.
Yeah, maybe I haven't either. It seemed like I did,
yeah.
But this was different to
this
me.
This was amazing.
It was impressive. It was really,
really
cool.
It really was.
I mean, it got dark like night.
Dropped 10 degrees?
Easily. 10.
Yeah.
Maybe 10, more.
Maybe 15.
Yeah.
I mean, it was bizarre.
Stark.
That sun's powerful.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's got a lot of heat in it.
And when something gets in its way,
yeah,
it's a big change.
Yeah. The other side of the moon has been scorched.
We wouldn't do well if there was something between us and the sun like that.
No.
On a permanent basis.
No. Well, we're not sure. It could be really, really good for us. Scientists in the show prep today, mm-hmm. if you get our daily show prep at glenbeck.com, you'll see that scientists are now just, we're playing with the clouds, trying to come up with something that we can put up in the sky.
Oh, yeah.
To
like
cool
a screen
us
or something to keep the global warming down.
I think that's going to be good.
Yeah,
I think that's going to be good.
That'll work out fine.
Yeah, sure. anyway.
Stars came out.
Yeah. The lights came out.
Really
it
was, amazing.
I kept putting myself back in time where you didn't know anything about.
We talked about that a lot too.
That would have been
scary.
Scary as hell.
Something just ate the sun.
Yeah.
You would be worried about that.
For a little while, and then you'd be like, "Did we make God mad or something? What are we gonna do? We gotta sacrifice the children." And then mm-hmm. hopefully you were slow because in 4 minutes it starts to go away, and you're like, "Ooh, okay." I didn't kill all the children.
Yeah.
Because it only lasted 4 minutes. So he couldn't have been that mad. anyway, people flew Delta yesterday, special flights. There were two of them to be able to follow the solar eclipse path. Left from Dallas and ended up, I think, in Detroit. And they were saying, there's going to be a special flight if you want to see. I don't know if people understood that. Unless you have a window seat, you're not going to see the solar eclipse. A lot of people were a little disappointed. And the people on one side of the plane could see it. if you had a window seat, but everybody else kind of left out, and so they had to share pictures with everybody else on the plane that paid for that special flight.
I heard the pictures on the plane were a little disappointing too.
Yeah. They said it was not
not exactly what they hoped.
Yeah, I love this. Unlike the ground, the plane was never fully dark. It fell more into a shadow. People started asking, "Do you see it yet?" And the truth. And the truth began to dawn on us. Maybe a plane isn't the best viewing spot for an eclipse. With glasses or without, it was kind of hard to see the eclipse. Well, you know, you learn something. You learn something new every day.
But the good thing is they probably only paid hundreds and hundreds of dollars for it.
Right.
So that's
a
lesson well learned very cheaply.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, I saw the people that were people on the top of the Empire State Building yesterday. And I thought to myself, do they know the view is just as good on the sidewalk? I don't know. Yeah, I hate to point that out to them, but wherever you are, high or low, you can pretty much see that.
Yeah, if you're in the path of totality, you can watch it from your backyard.
Yeah,
and that's just as good a perch as a mountaintop.
Yeah.
So
okay, so the London papers today. And I honestly don't know why the London papers are doing it. You couldn't see it from London. But anyway, Americans are reporting today, according to the Daily Mail, bizarre physical and mental ailments. And they say it's because of the solar eclipse called eclipse sickness. The symptoms have included headaches, fatigue, changes in menstrual cycles. Did yours change?
A great deal.
Yeah.
I stopped having it.
I did
yesterday.
Really?
Yeah. It was weird.
I did five miles on my menstrual cycle.
Oh, you
yesterday.
Did?
Yeah. Okay. It was good. So anyway.
Is that more than usual?
It's a lot more than usual. Okay. A lot more. Heavy flow. Heavy flow yesterday. Anyway, it includes headaches, fatigue, changes in menstrual cycles, and insomnia. And I'm just here to let you know that it's absolutely true. This don't dismiss this. It's true. Let's follow the science. And men can have babies and women have penises. And the economy is booming. And the WNBA is a sport worth watching. I'm just saying. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Eclipse sickness. We are doomed. Doomed. While NASA has said there's no evidence linking human health and solar eclipse, studies have found that the celestial event can impact animals, specifically dogs that may appear anxious. Yeah, dogs are anxious because the owners are nuts. Mm-hmm. That's why. On Monday, the solar eclipse moved its way up the U.S., starting in Texas, ended in May and in Maine, and people reported strange side effects. Strange side effects. Individuals flocked to social media to share their symptoms. Anyone else suffering from weird insomnia, no appetite, and other weird things that can't be explained? You know what? I think insomnia is one of those things that can be explained. You know, mm-hmm. I really think it can. And I don't think it has anything to do with the solar eclipse. You know, what is weird insomnia? I'm not sure what weird. Mm. Gee, I got to tell you, I've heard the Hamas hostages have weird insomnia. You know, they just can't. It's unexplainable, really. It's very unexplainable. We're talking about Americans here. You know, you're 35. Your boss doesn't want you to show up to a client meeting with your blankie. You know,
weird
insomnia.
Unexplained.
I can't sleep. Mm. I can't go in with my blankie. I just don't know what to do. And I'm working now. 3 whole days, and they're expecting me not to take any mental health days. I don't know what to do. I just don't know what to do. Others said they felt mentally off in the last few days leading up to Monday.
Hmm.
Anyone feeling emotional with the upcoming solar eclipse? Reads a post on X. No. I mean, mm-mm. Well, I cried all night.
Did you?
Yeah, I got weirdly
emotional.
But
that's no different, is
it? No, I cry myself to sleep every night. Doctors call it eclipse sickness. I just want you to know, no doctors actually call it that. No real doctors. I'm sure there are doctors out there, especially the new MDs that are just coming out of, you know, out of school where they're like, yeah, we could I mean, you're 50, you're depressed, we can kill you. Sure. you know what? I'm just going to write this down as eclipse sickness. Had to put him out of his misery. Some women shared that their menstrual cycle synced with April 8th's event. But there's no scientific evidence to support that connection. So I think that the lesson here is let's follow science, except when it tells us just to suck it up. It's no big deal, okay? It was dark for 4 minutes. Dark for 4 minutes. Okay. The Healthcare Communication Network, which I believe is run by the same people who gave us the Psychic Friends Network, said that such changes and weird feelings. Okay, do you believe any healthcare network that talks about weird feelings? Are you experiencing weird feelings? They say they could be attributed to psychological factors. No. Such as excitement, anxiety, the influence of social cues. No. You mean like you'd go online and you'd hear a bunch of people saying things and you're like, I feel weird, strangely weird. anyway, Leon Poston, MD, a physician writer and researcher at the Invigor Medical Clinic. Let me just translate. The Erectile Dysfunction Hut told MX Lynx or MD Lynx that while she has not seen a link between the eclipse and the changes in physiology and disease, she notes that when an event occurs that's outside the norm and it feels difficult to explain, it can the solar eclipse is not difficult to explain. She said it can have physical and psychological effects on people. Okay, I just want to sum up yesterday. Okay, just want to sum it up. It was dark for 4 minutes, and people are still freaking out today. The Greatest Generation weeps right now. They're weeping. These would be the people that, you know, we're going to go to Normandy. I need a beach ball umbrella. I want some timeouts, some do-overs. I mean, we can't just storm those beaches. My gosh, are we doomed? We're doomed.
I mean, if you have dots in your eyes today, because you were staring at the sun without glasses yesterday.
Yeah.
I understand that particular health effect. That might be understandable. The rest of this
is garbage. Garbage. I love this one. This comes from the New York Post. Solar eclipse 2024. Signs of eye damage from looking at the sun. Now, I would think that should be printed in bigger font. Having difficulty reading this story, you know, there's a big blue dot that just kind of is.
Yeah. Yeah, it might be a problem.
It might be a problem. Mm-hmm. Might be a problem. Honestly, that's one of the signs that you have a round dot
in the middle of your vision.
In the middle of your vision.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's kind of like a black, you know, and can go red, can go yellow, can go blue, you know. But it's always there. It's like the negative of the sun is in your vision.
Huh. Yeah. Hadn't thought of that.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Weird.
Yeah. Increased sensitivity to light and a headache. Wait a minute. Wasn't that one of those psychological signs?
Mm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
We're about to show you Americans are even more stupid and pathetic than you thought. Sometimes the value of a product or service relies heavily on the values of that company that's producing the product or service. And your mobile carrier is no exception to this rule. You tired of paying through the nose for phone service? All while knowing that the money that you just paid them, some of it, in some cases, definitely is going to leftist causes that you don't support at all, like Planned Parenthood. If you're looking for an alternative, if you're looking to spend money with the people who are actually fighting with us, not against us, look no further than Patriot Mobile. They have a 100% U.S.-based customer service team that will help you make switching easy. whether you're keeping your phone or you're upgrading one or both your phone and your phone number, you don't have to worry that part of your bill is going to fund leftist causes. So go to patriotmobile.com/Beck. Call 972-PATRIOT. 972-PATRIOT. Get free activation when you use the offer code Beck. Join me. Make the switch today. patriotmobile.com/Beck. 972-PATRIOT.
This is the best of the Glenn Beck podcast.
So I can't take it every time that Joe Biden says, well, we've created 15 million new jobs since January 2021. Can't take it. Cannot take it. Why, Pat? Why did you roll your eyes?
Well, he didn't create 15 million new jobs. Nowhere near. Those jobs came back after the the COVID situation was over and people went back to work.
Okay. It's much worse than that. It's much worse than that. I want to give you just the facts. These are compiled in a great story on Blaze Media. Just go to blaze.com, theblaze.com. Daniel Horowitz writes an unbelievable... This should be sent to everyone you know. He says, the Bureau of Labor Statistics publishes two jobs reports, the Establishment Survey and the Household Survey. The Establishment Survey samples actual employers and shows the growth in non-farm payroll jobs, as well as a breakdown by specific industry, while the Household Survey samples individual households and measures broad census data, such as total number of employment age population, size of the labor force, the U3 unemployment rate, and total number of employed and unemployed. So, he always has this talking point where he says, oh, I created 15 million jobs. Daniel Horowitz starts with his talking point about job creation is the ultimate self-indictment. Listen to this. Getting a precise picture of the U.S. unemployment or employment requires conflating data from both of those surveys. Typically, the data complement each other. But in the last couple of years, the numbers have diverged. For example, the Establishment Survey shows 3 million additional people employed since January 2021. This may be due in part because the employer-based survey picks up more illegal aliens than the survey of households. The White House obviously prefers to tout the Establishment Survey's figure. In any event, the reality is Biden has a much worse record on job creation than Donald Trump. And that's before we delve into the nature of these jobs. When COVID-19 shut down the world in March 2020, employment cratered. It took well over a year to come back from the lockdowns and merely get back to par with the pre-COVID baseline in February 2020. As such, the only fair comparison for Biden to make is to measure the number of employed individuals today compared to February 2020. I think that's fair, right?
Yeah.
And not even all jobs. I think that's being generous. Not everybody's job was back by February 2020.
Right.
Viewed that way, we don't have 15 million new jobs. We have 5.5 million jobs created between January 21 and February of this year, according to the Establishment Survey, and just 2.3 million according to the Household Survey. Let's go with a more impressive 5.5 million figure, even though the Philadelphia Fed believes that's overstated. Although 5.5 million still sounds meaningful, remember, the country is constantly growing. Since February 2020, the civilian non-institutional population of working-age residents grew by 8.1. I wonder if this is even counting the illegals. So job growth has not kept pace with population growth, especially judging from the household survey. This is why the civilian labor force participation rate is down from 63.3% ahead of the lockdowns to 62.5%. When factoring in population growth, the fact is we find an additional 729,000 unemployed individuals today. Put another way, 611 out of every 1,000 Americans of unemployment age were working before COVID, compared to 601 today.
Jeez.
Also, an additional 5 million people are no longer in the labor force but of working age, which means that for whatever reason, they gave up on the job market. Federal Reserve Chairman Jerome Powell explains these missing workers are the result of excess retirements. Really? Those are the workers we're missing. The ones who are ready to retire. In short, we have a much larger population without jobs than before COVID. Compared to the same period under Trump, the current labor market today is terrible. After 37 months into Trump's tenure, the establishment survey showed 6.7 million jobs created. But here's the kicker. The population only grew by 5.6 million, which means the job growth under Trump outpaced population growth by 20%. Under Biden, population growth has outpaced job growth by 47%, or 252% going by the household survey.
Wow.
Okay. Hence, by virtue of population growth alone, we have gone backward in job creation since COVID. But it gets worse. As Daniel Horowitz noted before, we have been losing full-time jobs. All the net job growth has come from part-time employment. In total, 3.4 million part-time jobs have been added since January 21, with 1.7 million just over the past 9 months. This isn't a story of growing economy, of go-getters seeking upward mobility. These are people taking second and third jobs just to afford the basic standards of living. In fact, the number of those holding multiple jobs has surged by 1.6 million since Biden took office. That's why the establishment survey shows greater job creation. It is double counting the increasing number of employed people with more than one job. Also, many of the new jobs are classified as self-employed. Thanks to tax law changes, it now includes a number of Uber and Lyft drivers. Are record numbers of people starting their own businesses? No. These are unemployed and underemployed people taking nebulous jobs or struggling workers forced to take a second gig just to tread water. Meanwhile, thanks to the endless revisions of the unemployment data, full-time jobs are now down 1.8 million since June of last year. A large share of the remaining lethargic full-time job creation has been fueled by government itself. Over the past year, government employment has doubled the growth rate of the private sector work. Government jobs have comprised between 21 and 58% of all job creation in the past six employment surveys. Between 21 on the low end and 58%, 60% of all job creation. It takes no skill or ingenuity to print trillions of dollars and create phantom jobs while saddling consumers with the consequences. This is perhaps one reason why all the job creation has been concentrated in 15% of U.S. counties. Think of that. All the job creation has been concentrated in 15% of U.S. counties. All of the job growth over the last year came from just 59 out of 389 metro areas across America. They were part-time, they went to foreigners, and 15% of the country. Perhaps the most shocking data point, I mean, I'm already spinning.
Mm-hmm.
Perhaps the most shocking data point that nukes the Biden administration's entire job growth narrative is the drop in, since October 2019, native-born U.S. workers. They have actually lost 1.4 million jobs. Over the same period, foreign-born workers have gained 3 million jobs. In fact, there has not been a month of net job creation for native-born workers since July 2018.
Wow. So where do they even get the 15 million figure? Because it's not even from COVID jobs coming back.
No, no. The $15 million is with COVID. $10 million in COVID. 5.5 they say.
So you add when the jobs come back and then the 5.5 million that they created, that's where they get the 15
yeah,
million.
Yeah, so if you stop after February 2020 or 2021, I can't remember, when they say, okay, jobs were coming back, now people were going back to work. Mm-hmm. So if you put, if you take all those jobs that people were going back to work in, okay, mm-hmm. then you start from there, you only have 5.5. But out of
we've had over 8 million new people.
Correct. And I don't believe we should call Daniel. I don't believe that counts for the
illegals.
Illegals.
Jeez.
That's another 10 million. And the natural born citizen, not the foreigner, but the natural born citizen here has actually lost employment.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that employment number is going down.
Jeez.
So all of the jobs created are from foreign workers, part-time jobs, or government jobs. That's not good.
No.
That is not no. good.
You're listening to the best of the Glenn Beck podcast.
Bhatia, welcome to the Glenn Beck program. How are you?
Oh, man, thank you so much for having me back, Glenn. It's such a pleasure to be here with you.
You bet, you bet. So I have been saying for a while now, as I'm looking at what the Western world, the elites, are doing to their own countries and our own civilization, they are impoverishing people. They are giving our stuff away to other people. And I mean that in Europe and here where illegals are just permeating the country and the jobs are going there, they're disarming us. They're selling us bound and gagged to our foe. It feels like. Is that what's happening?
Yeah, 100%. Glenn, you've been on this for such a long time because you're so clear-eyed about this. There has been a massive plunder of the middle class mm-hmm. by the elites. First, they shipped good manufacturing jobs overseas to build up China and Mexico's middle class. Then they said they're not coming back, right? We're never going to get those jobs back. If you want the American dream, you have to go to college where you'll become, you know, a card-carrying Democrat, right? And now they opened the border and brought in 15 million illegal migrants from failed socialist states to undercut the wages in the jobs that remained here. And it's because fundamentally to the elites, there's no difference between being working class and being poor. They want everybody to be poor because they control the college educated and the poor. That is why they're trying to get everybody out of the middle class and either into the college credentialed, you know, leftist elites or to make them poor, because that's how the Democrats win.
So, wow, I've never heard that that opinion before, I think, where they are intentionally doing it because they can control the poor.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, otherwise it makes no sense, right? I mean, where does the contempt for the working class come from? Where does this plunder come from? Why would they have sold out labor, right? Remember, the Democrats used to represent labor. Why would they now be so committed to making working class people poor with these policies that you talk about all the time, Glenn? Opening the border, bringing in massive, massive amounts of competition for the working class. Like, who would do such a thing, right? And it's not on accident, Glenn. Of course, this was all intentional. Joe Biden showed up and on day one undid the three executive Trump orders,
right,
which secured the border. Why would somebody do that on purpose, right? Well, if they didn't want people to be poor.
It's amazing to me also that the labor unions are part of it. I mean, the Democrats were always for labor, you say. They were always, they did seem to represent the working class much more, but it was their love of the labor unions. The labor unions are still with them as they are helping them dismantle American jobs.
100%. And I think that's why you see only 6% of the private sector is unionized. working class Americans, they may want the wages and the protections that unions can get their members, but they see the unions actively supporting the party and the policy of importing their competition. And so they don't see a future for themselves in the labor unions. And, you know, Joe Biden likes to say he's the most pro-union president to ever, you know, rule. Well, maybe that's true, but the unions themselves are no longer able to represent their actual members.
Correct.
Although I have to say, I thought it was great that Trump went and met with the Teamsters and that he, you know, he got a donation for the RNC from the Teamsters, because it shows that the Teamsters are listening to rank and file, who, of course, prefer Trump.
So you say that the working class in America is super diverse, but united on the policies that they think would make their lives better. And you say that is true whether you're a Republican or Democrat. Where is that unity on policy? What are those policies?
Right. So for this, for my book, Second Class, How the Elites Betrayed America's Working Men and Women, I traveled around the country for a year interviewing working class Americans of all races, of all backgrounds and religions, and many, many, many different industries, totally across the country. And what I found was so much more unites them than divides them.
Oh, yeah.
First of all, polarization, a totally elite phenomenon. And I know your listeners know this because I know you have a strong working class listenership. They know that they would never hate their neighbor just because they happen to vote for another party. They hate both parties, by the way. You know, there's a lot of contempt for the elites in the political class who love to go to Washington and fight with each other, pretend they're fighting with each other while both parties, you know, have turned their backs on labor. Here's what I found was the most common views. So I met a lot of people, including a lot of Christians, who had a gay person in their life who they wanted to be treated with respect, but they were extremely worried about the transgender agenda. I met a lot of people who were really unhappy about how much welfare there is, and knew people who were scamming the system, and they were very frustrated by that, but they also really didn't like that corporations seemed to them to be, you know, against their interests, and that there was so much support for corporations and not for them. They were very against immigration. Most of the people I interviewed, including the Democrats, wanted something like a total moratorium on immigration, but they also felt like there should be some sort of government-backed catastrophic health care. They couldn't stand the idea that they work with their hands and their bodies in physical labor and they can't afford good health care. So you see how their views are sort of, they united the working class, but neither party really aligns with those set of views.
So how come, because you would say, I don't want to make this into a partisan thing, but I think I have to. When you're looking at Donald Trump, that describes him, respect for gay people. He's the first president to ever have gay people openly speak at the convention. He's very open to that. But he is also doesn't want to be harmful to transgender people, but is against all of this craziness. When it comes to they're very against immigration. That is huge. And that's Donald Trump. How is it that you don't see Democrats looking at some of these big, big items and say, okay, well, clearly this side is totally against everything I really believe in? How come the Democrats?
We're definitely seeing that. Trump is now polling at 35% of black men. He's going to get much more than that. So in 2020, he was polling at 8% of black men and he got 18%. He's now polling at 35% of black men. He's got the majority of Hispanics polling for him. We're seeing a mass defection of working class people of color away from the Democrats who are actively undermining them and their future towards Donald Trump. I'll tell you something else, Glenn. Donald Trump is the consensus candidate that Joe Biden pretended he was going to be.
Yeah.
You are so right. His entire agenda is right at the 50-yard line. It's where 70% of Americans are and 0% of the elites. So we are seeing mass defection from the Democrats to Donald Trump in the working class, and we're seeing the elites, you know, the Nikki Haley, GOP yes. elites will probably vote for Joe Biden. That's the political realignment that we're seeing. The rich are moving towards the Democrats or have moved to the Democrats, including conservative rich people. I bet you we know that Wall Street gave more money to Joe Biden than they did to Donald Trump. That's not an accident. So I think you're completely right about that.
Well, not all rich people support Joe Biden. I don't know that. So the elites, at what point do you think we break through the ice on people realizing that it's not Donald Trump and Joe Biden, that it is truly the elites against, you know, people who just say, hey, can you pay attention to us in America first? Can you just... Can you not continue to just put me underwater? When are we going to break through that and stop playing the left-right game and realize it's these people who think they're better than us that are just trying to put their foot on our neck all the time?
I think that this election is going to come down to the working class, and I think it's going to become totally unignorable after that. The question is what happens after that. These working class people are not voting for the Republicans. They're voting for Donald Trump.
Correct.
And if the GOP wants to keep these voters, they have to stop pushing tax cuts over everything else. And they have to start listening to the working class. I interviewed 100 people and 25 of them are quoted at great length in my book, Second Class. You want to hear how working class people who agree with you about woke and agree with you about conservative values, but very much need an economic agenda. They need the GOP to stop pimping them out on the mm-hmm. altar of the woke ideas that they agree with, but that, you know, tickle the pickle of the conservative elites, right? And start creating an economic agenda for the working class. The first party that gets to that combination of healthcare plus controlling immigration is going to have a ruling majority.
Mm. Badia, thank you so much for being on. The name of the book, again, is really all about everything that we're doing right now, everything you're feeling right now. It's called Second Class. Badia, thank you so much.
Thank you. God bless you.
God bless you.